This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
Well, we miss all of you, and we really miss singing there at New Life, but we're so thankful to have the opportunity to be in the region where the majority of the New Testament was written, and to better study and know how to preach God's Word. And so continue to pray for us as we're praying for you. But today we have the privilege of having Dr. Jim Shetler, who's been studying, preaching, and teaching God's Word for the past three decades. God has greatly used Dr. Shetler, and we welcomed him to our winter revival this last spring, but it is a wonderful thing to have a man who travels the nation preaching and helping churches. And Dr. Shetler has been such a blessing and an encouragement to us in the past. And I know he's going to be an encouragement to you today as he comes and preaches from God's Word. So let's open our hearts and welcome Dr. Jim Shetler.
Good morning, New Life. Good to see you. I had the privilege to be here 3 years ago on the very first Sunday. My son and I said, you know what, I want to go see how that all gets started and everything. How many were here the first Sunday at New Life? Okay. All right. Good to see all of you. And I've counted it a privilege to come back every time. This is the very first time I have ever been to New Life that your pastor was not here. He must be trusting me a little bit now, I guess. I don't know. But I have never been here without Pastor Moore being here. And I want you to know, if you are a guest today, if you are visiting, let me encourage you to come back and hear Pastor Moore. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. By the way, his ministry, his preaching ministry, will expand after this trip that he's taken. I mean, he's gonna preach Mars Hill like you've never heard Mars Hill before. He's going to talk to you about the Church of Philippi like you've never heard before, because he's been there now. And it really does. Thy eye has affected thy heart. And he's going to come back with a full load. So it's good that your pastor gets away like that once in a while. And then also, he gets away so you can appreciate him a little bit more as well. So we're thankful to have the opportunity to be here today. And, you know, I have an unusual message today, a kind of a difficult message, if I could just share my heart with you. I absolutely believe there's a place for this message, but can I share with you? We're going to talk today a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, the Holy Spirit does not want to be the center of attention. The Holy Spirit does not want to be exalted. His whole ministry, we're going to mention this in just a moment, his whole ministry is to lift up Jesus Christ. But I do believe it is important that we understand the third person of the Trinity. And I have found out in my life that the best way to understand something or someone is to ask questions. So I've got three questions about the Holy Spirit that I would like to answer today, and I pray that they'll be a great help to you. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. Galatians 5, and I hope you have a handout to follow along with. The three Holy Spirit questions, and I don't know, I'm sure there's other great questions about the Holy Spirit, but these three are going to really help you, and I think give us a great understanding of the Holy Spirit, what he's trying to do, and how we are to come alongside of that, what the Holy Spirit's doing in our own life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, has a statement in it. It's kind of a metaphor. It's like a little illustration that has troubled me all my life, all my Christian life. And it's because it's just like, okay, so what does this mean? Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, everyone together, finish the verse for the last four words, walk in the Spirit. Could you all say that? Walk in the Spirit. Now that's the key to the Christian life. But what in the world does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know, there's an interesting verse in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Amos says this, I think it's right on your hand out there. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? So our verse in Galatians says, walk in the Spirit. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? So I think a really important thing here right now is, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to have to be in agreement with Him. We're going to have to walk with Him. There's a man in the Bible that I really love. His name is Enoch. Not mentioned a lot, but he's really a cool guy. And let me tell you why. He did not walk before God, nor did he walk after God. His testimony is that Enoch walked with God. And that's what you want to do in your life. You want to walk with God, because walking with God will mean walking in the Spirit. And I just want to tell you this, friend. If you're walking in the Spirit, everything in your life, you will see and you will sense the presence of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the peace of God. Everything you desire from the Christian life comes from walking in the Spirit. But I don't think we can fully understand that until we answer these three questions. Matter of fact, I'm gonna jump ahead on my outline here so you can know. You can probably figure it out. Question number one is going to be, who is the Holy Spirit? You got to know who He is. Number two is, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? And number three is, how can I help the Holy Spirit do it, you know? But I think it's well done to be able to take a message once in a great while and talk a little bit about the third person of the Trinity. By the way, Jesus did it in the upper room. We're going to actually go there real quick. Jesus explained it to the disciples in the upper room because we do need to know some things about the Holy Spirit. Can I transport you for a moment all the way to a little place called the upper room in Jerusalem somewhere? And there we have 12 disciples and Rabboni, the Master, the Yeshua HaMashiach, if you please. And this is his last night. Now, for 3.5 years, he has tried to explain to them that he is not the political Messiah, his first coming. By the way, he came the first time as a lamb. He's coming back. And when he comes back again, it will be as a lion, not as a lamb. And he is going to return. But his first coming was for the salvation of the soul. The second coming will be for the sovereign of the world. And so Christ came 3.5 years. He spent his time with these disciples, teaching them that this was not a political Messiah at this time. That he came to be the suffering Messiah for our sins. But they just didn't catch it. All the way after 3.5 years, they still come in the upper room and they're still arguing about the position that they're going to get. Jesus gets up, washes their feet, which is giving them an example of servanthood. As I have done, you should do as well. And then he says something. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm telling you, the disciples are going crazy. Where are you going? It's time for you to set up the kingdom. What do you mean you're leaving? You can't leave now. You're at the highest of popularity. They're all putting the palm trees down. Hail, Hosanna. What are you doing? You can't leave now. Well, they're still all messed up with that. And by the way, everything he says after that, they're not even paying attention to. But in the next three chapters, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he begins to tell them, hey, I'm leaving y'all, but I'm not going to leave you guys orphans. I'm going to leave you a paraclete. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you one that's going to comfort you. And you know what? Wherever you go in the world, he's going to go with you. You see, I'm in physical form. I am God incarnate. So I can't go with you when you go on your missionary trips. When you turn the world upside down, I can't go. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave. and it's going to be a good thing that I leave. These guys are going like, you leave? What are you talking about? You can't leave. It's a good thing that I leave, because if I leave, I will then give you the Comforter. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Well, that's a very important moment in Scriptures in that upper room. And I'd like to have you look at your handout for just a moment, and let's look at number one, who is this Holy Spirit that's going to come? Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is present. He's present. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is present, but he's not indwelling permanently. He comes upon people, and then he leaves them. He comes upon Samson. Samson does incredible works. He comes upon David. There are times the Holy Spirit comes and goes. But now, the Holy Spirit is going to indwell the believers. And this Holy Spirit is never going to leave again. The Holy Spirit that you have in you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, will be with you for all of eternity. The Holy Spirit is never, never going to leave you. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you who he is. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is the third person of the Trinity. So let's say the Trinity together. God the Father. Well, that was terrible, New Life. Do you know your Trinity? Okay. God the
Father.
God the
Son.
And God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an amazing truth and a truth. If you think the guy that's standing before you completely understands this, you are mistaken. I do not understand completely how he is, by the way, he is not three parts. He is three persons. And there's a big difference between being a part and being a person. God doesn't have three parts. God is three persons. Now, this is really interesting. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it's called the Shema. This is the most high and holiest passage of Scripture in all the Torah. Every Jewish child learns this as the very first scriptures they will ever learn from the Torah. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." Well, you just said he's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's three. But Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." Well, the word one there is a very interesting word. It's the Hebrew word achat, and it means one as a unit. It's not one. They got two words for one. We only got one for word for one. If there's one person in this building, we say, oh, there's one person in this building. If we say there's one church meeting in this building, we say there's one church. We use the same word one. Hebrew's not that way. They've got a word for singular one, and one is a unit. One is a group. One is a team. The word that's used in Deuteronomy 6:4 doesn't disprove the Trinity. It proves the Trinity. The Lord thy God is achat. It is one as a unit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. This is one you have in your handout. What a verse. "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word." Who's the Word? Who's the living Word? Jesus. "The Father, the Word, and the," everyone together, "Holy Ghost." And these three are, everyone together, one. Isn't that a great verse? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person, and he is God. Number two thing under that, he is my coach and my referee. If you've got your Bibles, turn back to John 14. It's also in your handout. But turn back to John chapter 14 and verse 26. It says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he," do you notice the personal pronoun there? It's not the Holy Spirit is not an it, folks. The Holy Spirit isn't some inanimate object. It's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a he, is a person. Now, sometimes we have a hard time with that because of all the pictures of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. He's a picture of the wind, the olive oil, there's the dove. So we have all these pictures of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we forget he is a person. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says this, "But the Comforter," there's that word paraclete. I'll explain that in just a moment. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," he, this is the third person of the Trinity, "shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." All right. So let me give you a couple of illustrations of the Holy Spirit that will be a help to you. I really believe it. These have really been a help to me. Number one, the Holy Spirit is like your coach. By the way, the Christian life isn't like you become a zombie, okay? Where you just kind of like, okay, Holy Spirit, fill me. And you got me now, Holy Spirit. Whatever you want, Holy Spirit. I'm yours, Holy Spirit. I surrender my being to you. Go ahead. You want to pick up my head? That'll be fine. You want me to open my eyes? That'll be fine. Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I'm empty. Holy Spirit, take me. Use me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Holy Spirit. Now, this is really interesting. You do any work for the Lord, you see any victory in your life, you will say, that was God. But I am going to tell you something. Work out your own salvation, the Bible says, for it's he that worketh in you. In other words, you got to do something. I compare the Holy Spirit a little bit like a coach. A coach doesn't get on the court. A coach doesn't get out in the field. A coach instructs you the way you're supposed to play. A coach is to come alongside of you, encourage you. We can win this game. We can win this game. They motivate you. They instruct you. But they don't play the game for you. Now, I understand the Holy Spirit will give you power, and that's where the illustration falls apart. But I am also going to tell you, he's like your coach. He comes alongside of you. That's what the word paraclete means. It means to come alongside and incite to action. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the word beseech, paraclete. I encourage you. I edify you, the word paraclete. It's translated seven different ways, but the whole idea is to come alongside and encourage you on. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity, but he's my paraclete. He's my coach that comes alongside of me and says, you can do this. You can overcome that anger. You could be the right kind of husband. You could be the right kind of person. You can witness to that person. The coach comes alongside and does that. He also instructs. Here, let me show you how to live this life. Boy, you are not throwing the ball the right way at all. You don't know how to kick at all, do you? No, I don't know how to kick at all. Let me help you. The coach comes along and instructs us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But he's not just the coach. He's the referee, too. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of your conscience. Your conscience is your courtroom. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul talks about having the Holy Spirit in his conscience. And I think that's where the Holy Spirit goes. And so the Holy Spirit begins to blow the whistle on you. And the Holy Spirit says, that's not the right attitude. Holy Spirit says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Go this way, do this thing. The Holy Spirit is not only the coach, the Holy Spirit is also the referee to blow the whistle when we're doing what's wrong. Let me tell you something about him being a referee. If we're at a basketball game, and we're all watching the game, and there's a blue team and a white team, and we're all there, we're in the stands, and the game gets started. About a minute and a half into the game, the referee blows the whistle. You know, blows the whistle. Foul! There's a foul! So everybody stops. Okay, who's the foul on? I'm not telling. What? There's a foul! Yeah, well, who did it? You're not going to get that out of me. Okay, well, which team? Oh, you think I'm going to tell you which team? No way! Ref! You just can't blow the whistle and not tell us who did what. And you're not getting that out of me. You know what? Can I tell you something about the Holy Spirit's conviction? I'll even say guilt. It's always specific. It's always specific. You say, Brother Shelley, what do you mean by that? I think a lot of Christians live with a lot of guilt. They just live guilty all the time. They're just always, I just feel guilty all the time. Can I tell you, that is not of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts somebody, he convicts them very specifically. He will tell you what you've done wrong. He will say, that was not the right language. That wasn't what you should be thinking right now. The Holy Spirit will say, that attitude wasn't right. He is very specific. He'll say, white team, number 12, reaching in, foul. If it's not specific, mark it down, it's not from the Holy Spirit. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So a lot of times the devil just, man, I just feel, man, my Christian life is terrible. Why? I don't know. I just feel guilty all the time. That is not from the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is not only specific, but he's current. He's current. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We're in the same basketball game. We're in the second half. There's a minute and a half to go in the game. Close game. Referee blows the whistle. Number 2-2 reaching in on the blue. What are you talking about? I wasn't even near anybody. Come on, 22. You know what you did in the first half. Pardon? You know what you did in the first half. You nailed that guy. Well, we're in the second half and the game's just about over. A little late call, isn't it? Can I tell you about the Holy Spirit? He never makes late calls. The Holy Spirit is not only specific, the Holy Spirit is always current. That means he's telling you what you've done. Now, I got to share one thing. Everyone, you got to get a hold of this. This is huge. However, if you haven't dealt with your past is still the present until you deal with it. But once you deal with it, if it ever comes up again, mark it down. That is not of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit deals with an issue, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, some of the things we do, we got to deal with this way, and we also got to deal with it this way. Some of you have gotten this way cleaned up, but you haven't gotten this way cleaned up. There's somebody you need to go to still. You say, I don't know why that keeps coming up in my past. It's because you haven't dealt with your past, and your past is your present. Hey, by the way, let's go back to the basketball game. Guy gets fouled. Right after he gets fouled, he takes the ball and lays it up for the basket. Does that basket count? No. Not until the what is dealt with. You deal with the foul. Now we go back to the game. See, some of you are living under guilt, and the reason why you're living under guilt is you haven't dealt with your past yet. But once you get the past under the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, move on. And if it ever comes back up again, that is not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my coach, but the Holy Spirit is my referee. So, number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Trinity. Folks, the Holy Spirit is God. Brother Scheller, when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? Yeah. So are you telling me that I have God in me? Yeah. John chapter 14, verse 20. Listen to this verse. And in that day, I think that was Pentecost. And in that day, ye will know that I am in my Father in me, and I in you. Folks, you have God living inside of you. Let him be your coach. Let him be your referee. Allow him to be your power and strength. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity, and he's my coach and my referee. And God's people said, amen. Number two. Okay, so what does the Holy Spirit want to do? This is really simple. You're in John. Look at John chapter 16 and look at verse 14. This sums it all up. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and read verse 13 real quick. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. That's very important. And that's why I'm on very delicate ground right now. This is not what the Holy Spirit wants in one sense. He does want you to know how he operates, but it's not about him. Not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now look at verse 14. He, speaking of the Holy Spirit, shall glorify everyone together. What's the next word? Me. Who's the me, everybody? Jesus Christ. Now you got to get this. In the world that we live in and in the Christianity that we have in America today, you got to hear this. You want to know where you will not find the Holy Spirit? Is in a church that exalts the Holy Spirit above everything else. Now you hear what I'm saying? You want to know where you'll find the Holy Spirit? In that church that Jesus Christ is exalted above all. You want the Holy Spirit in this church? Then exalt the Son of God. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and exalt Jesus Christ. So in your life, Brother Scheller, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, then you better put yourself down and put Jesus up. I must decrease and he must increase in order for the Holy Spirit to reign and rule and give me strength and power. I got to tell you, we have a Christianity in America today that is so Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit ain't even part of any of it. Because it's not about the Holy Spirit, it's about Jesus Christ. And when you exalt Jesus Christ in your life, in your church, in your family, the Holy Spirit will rest on that. Now let me make this really clear and really simple. You basically have two things the Holy Spirit is doing. He is either bringing unbelievers to Christ, or he's taking believers and conforming them to the image of Christ. But it's all about Jesus, man. It is all about Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment. I have no idea who's in here. If you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you may say, oh, I know about this Jesus historical figure guy. And I've gone to a lot of churches before. Well, let me just share this with you. Knowing about Christ doesn't make you saved. I got married. On August 16, 19, no. And it was a long time ago, 1980, okay? So we're a year away from 40 years of marriage, all right? Now, before, on August 15th, 1980, I believed in marriage. On August 15th, 1980, I wanted to be married. On August 15th, 1980, my whole mind was about marriage. But on August 15th, 1980, I was not married. August 16th, 1980, I took the greatest woman in the world in Cedar Hill Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And I asked Mary Lee to be my wife, and she received me. I know you think that is pretty surprising. I've married up, let me tell you. But here's what I want to tell you. I believed in marriage, but I wasn't married till August 16th, 1980. Friend, you might come into this church and go, oh, you know, Jesus thing. I got the Jesus thing. I believe in Jesus. Let me ask you, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Now, if you haven't, I don't want to get mystical here or anything. I just want to talk to you. If you haven't, there is a good chance that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. That you came, you would say, I came of my own free will to New Life today. You know you did. But can I also tell you, God's sovereignty brought you here today. Yes. The providence of God's got you in this auditorium right now. Listen to me. If you're sitting there going right now, man, like I know about this historical Jesus, and I've gone to a bunch of churches, and I've lived a pretty good life, but there's something going on inside of you right now. Man, I don't think I know the Lord like they're talking about here. I don't know if I've ever got my sins forgiven. I don't know. I know Jesus died on the cross, but I don't know if I've ever received that. Okay, I believed in marriage. By the way, I knew a few things about marriage before I got married. Not much, but I knew a few things. But I got to tell you, then I received Mary Lee, and I know I got married. My friend, if you're sitting here today, and you would say honestly, you know, Jim, I don't think I've ever done this thing that you're talking about. But there's something going on inside of me right now. And it's not just a feeling and an emotion. Like I'm sensing this is what I need to do. I want what these people have.
That is the Holy Spirit working in your life. That has nothing to do about Shetler or the little bit of music we did and the nice spirit. That is the Holy Spirit working in your life. And I just want to tell you, the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring an unbeliever to Jesus Christ. And if you're sensing that, that is like the coolest thing in the world. God is working in your life to bring you to Jesus Christ. Does it get better than that? If you're here and going like, you know, I kind of feel a little guilty sometimes when I there's something going on here that I don't know. I love the Spirit here, but I always feel bad when I leave here. That is God's Spirit trying to bring you to Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a believer, he's got a whole different ball game. He's got you now to Jesus for salvation. Now his whole ministry in your life is to make you like Jesus. Okay, so I have three sons. One of them sitting back here today. I would have given anything to make Ben, Luke, and Drew like little Jesuses. Boy, I learned really quick. You just don't make your children into little Jesuses. You know that? It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. There's only one person that can make you like Christ. And that one person is the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you what he'll use. He will use everything from really good friends to super Bible teaching to cancer to financial need. He will take an incredible curriculum. He will take an incredible variety of circumstances to chisel away things. Let me tell you what I've learned in my life. I think this is somewhat subjective. Do you know the number one tool that God has used in my life, that the Holy Spirit has used to chisel away self and to see Jesus? Submission to authority. All right, Brother Cheryl, let's go to the next point. Okay, well, let's stop for just a moment. I don't care what age you are. Submission to authority will produce the life of Christ in your life. When you learn how to submit to, by the way, you got to let the Holy Spirit be your authority. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. You got to let the Holy Spirit be your authority. So you got to submit to that to allow that to happen. All right, so let's look at our sheets here for a moment. Question number two, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? More than anything else, he exalt and glorify Jesus Christ. He brings unbelievers to Christ, and he conforms believers to Christ. So if you're an unbeliever, he's trying to bring you to Christ. And I'm going to encourage you in just a few moments to ask Christ to be your Savior. If you're here as a believer, can I just tell you what he's trying to do? He's trying to make you like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 is a great verse on the Spirit of God doing the sanctifying. It is God who does it. Question number three, and we're done. How can I help the Holy Spirit? You know, Jim, I've really enjoyed this today. I've really learned a lot. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God, and he's my coach, and he's my referee, and he lives inside of me, and I understand what he's trying to do. I am a believer in Christ, and now what he's trying to do is make me like Jesus. How can I help him? I have heard dozens of messages on the Holy Spirit. I've never heard anyone bring that question up. I personally think that is the most important question on the Holy Spirit. How can I help the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in my life? Because if he's God, I want God to have his way. All right, New Life, two things that you can do to help the Holy Spirit. Number one, give him a relationship. And number two, give him ownership. We'll talk about ownership in just a moment. Give him a relationship. Oh, look, it's up here on the thing here. Has that been going on all the whole time? That's pretty cool, all right? Give him a relationship. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 30. Boy, is this a great verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. It says this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Men in here, how many of you men in this room are married? Would you raise your hand? You're married. Okay, good number of you. How many of you men are honest enough to say, and mine's going up right now, you've ever grieved your wife in something you've done or said? Okay, like I'm going to put two hands up right now, okay? I have grieved my wife in things that I've said and things that I've done. And I will tell you this. When I've done it, I've definitely known I've done it. First of all, there is a break of, come on, husbands, communication. She don't want to talk to me. I've hurt her. And I said something, I embarrassed her, I said a cutting word, we did something, she expected me to get something that I didn't get, and I grieved her. By the way, we've all grieved somebody, whoever you are. You've grieved someone. Can I tell you something? If we treated other people the way that we treat the Holy Spirit, we would have no friends and no one would live with us. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think about what you think that grieves the Holy. Why are you looking at that? Why are you thinking that? What in the world are you doing? I'm a Holy Spirit, not an unclean spirit. Why are you talking that way? Why are you going to this place? Why haven't you deleted that yet? Why are you looking at that? I am the Holy Spirit, and I am sorrowful, and I am in grief about your attitude and what you're doing. You have grieved me. Now, he wants a relationship, and I think that relationship comes in two ways. Give him time. Give the Holy Spirit time. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. I mean, number one, time alone with him. Last week, I finished the book of Genesis. I was going through my devotions. In the last 4 days, I've been studying Ephesians. I can't get out of Ephesians 1. I've just been in Ephesians 1. This morning, I kind of like that your service is at 10:30. Like, I like had the longest devotional time this morning I've had in a long time. But you know what? It gives you an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Gang, can I just tell you something? Just one time, get in your car and don't turn your sound system on in your car. Oh, Brother Shetler, it's really good Christian. No. Just you and him. You don't need any Christian music. Well, I got to get my folks, this isn't an emotional thing. This is a spiritual thing. Be still and know that I am God. Hey, you know what? Take some time alone with him. There isn't a married couple in this room that doesn't know how important time is. I was a chaperone yesterday. We went up to the Fort Tejon Outlets. We took 85 college students there, and we were one of the chaperones there. I had four different groups that wanted to ride in the car with Marilee and I. Okay, I had a little Camry that day, yesterday. And I had four different groups come. Dr. Shetler, can we ride with you and Mrs. Shetler? No. One of the groups came up to Marilee, and I loved it. They asked Marilee, Mrs. Shetler, can we ride with you and Dr. Shetler up to Fort Tejon? And my wife says, no, I need some time alone with my husband. And I'm going like, yeah. Of course, then she went on to, no, she didn't. No, she was great. No, she was great. We had a great time. You know what? Gang, you got to have time alone with the Holy Spirit. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You've got to spend time. And I'll tell you what he loves. He loves his word. If you can get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit and just meditate on it and just chew on it and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, you need time. He wants a relationship with you. It's not, folks, I got saved out of the Catholic Church. Man, growing up, it was be good, do good, look good. And at the end of your life, if your good outweighs your bad, you'll get to heaven. And I realized at 12, I wasn't doing so good. And by the way, 50 years ago, November 8th, 1969, 50 years ago, coming up in about a month, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'll tell you what I loved. I grew up having a religion, but then I got a relationship. Now, if you're saved today, you know you don't have religion. You got a relationship. Give that relationship some time. And then number two, and this is huge. Give the relationship tenderness, sensitivity. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak loudly. Okay, I'm going to go on a little rabbit trail, but it's really worth it. How many are parents here? How many are parents? Okay, grandparents. Okay, now, I'm not telling you my boys did this, but we emphasized obedience the first time. And one thing I'll say about my wife, she never raised her voice with the kids. She was a teacher, so she had that teacher voice and that teacher look like, Ben, now. It's like, yeah. I mean, she does that with me, and it's like, yeah, man, I'm doing that now, okay? I'm doing that now. Now, listen to me. This is really important. We have raised a generation of young people that don't obey until they hear a certain decibel from their parents. Johnny, go clean the room. Johnny, have you cleaned the room yet? Johnny, go clean the room. Johnny! Now it's time to do it. Can I tell you? Let me share this with you. Holy Spirit doesn't do that, bud. And we have raised a generation that doesn't know God's will for their life because they don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be tender to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. This past week, I missed two promptings. I don't have time to tell you. I'm embarrassed. There's two times this past week I knew the Holy Spirit told me to do something, and I didn't do it. One was with a college student that it ended up having consequences to it. And the Holy Spirit put on my heart, had a prompting of the Spirit of God to go talk to that person, and I didn't do it, and it caused consequences. Listen to me. We got to be tender to the Spirit of God and His prompt. You got to have a relationship. And then number two, and we're done, you got to have ownership. Give Him ownership of your being. Let the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ died for your body. It should be the temple of the Holy Spirit. It should be His. You should be the steward. He should be the owner. And when you get that, and you say, okay, so Brother Shell, I've heard these messages before. So what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit as the owner and me as the steward? It means you empty yourself of yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now there's a word you got to remember with filled. Whenever the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit, it means being controlled. Does that make sense? If you're filled, you are control. Oh, God, help me. One more time. If you're filled, you are Johnny. Come on up here, Johnny. Johnny Pinson, that is. Hi, Johnny. Johnny's my old friend. I got to tell you what. Okay, Johnny, I got the easiest thing I have ever asked you to do before in life. All I ask you to do is it's left-handed, okay, so make sure you get the right hand. All I'm going to ask you to do is put your hand in the glove, okay? Go ahead. Put your left hand in the glove. You can't get it in there? Why can't you get it in there?
It's already filled.
It's already filled. What's it? Yeah, it's already controlled. Okay. Hey, I'll do the illustration part. You just follow along, okay? Okay. You can't get your hand in there because why?
It's filled.
Okay, well, let's take something out. Open it up. Let's see what we got. What are you filled with that you can't control it? Ooh. Ooh. Show everybody.
Worry.
You know what? You can't be controlled with the Spirit of God if you're worrying all the time. You got to get rid of that worry. Okay, go ahead now. Now you can get your hand in there now. You can get your hand in there now. You got something else? Okay, let's see what you got, man. You'll know in a minute why I picked Johnny here. What do we got here? Oh, yeah, this is the reason. Here we go. What do we got here, Johnny?
Pride.
You know what? You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you got pride in your life. All right, let's see what else we got, man. What else we got in there? Whoa. This is hard, isn't it? You don't want to even look at this one, do you? Wow. I mean, this is getting bad. But you know what? If you want to be Spirit-filled, what else are you going to have to get out? Yeah, anger. Can't do it, man. You can't be controlled by the Holy Spirit if you got the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Some of you got real anger problems. Some of you worry all the time. And some of you are full of yourself. And you're going, this Holy Spirit thing I don't get. Yeah, you don't get it because He can't fill you. He can't control you. I'm not saying you don't have Him. I'm saying He doesn't have control. What else we got? Whoa, Johnny, are we just about done?
Hopefully.
What do we got here? Ooh, yeah, green. Envy and greed. Envy and greed. You're jealous. You're full of envy and greed of what somebody else has or whatever. You know what? You will not be filled by the Spirit of God. Johnny, what else we got going here? Wow. Dr. Scheller, can't we be done? No, it's got to all get out, gang. It's got to all get out. What else we got? Oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. It's lust. I'm telling you right now, if you got lust in your heart and you got immoral thoughts in your heart, you will not be controlled by the Spirit of God. Johnny, I think there's only one left. I think there's. You better hope there's only one left, please. Wow, you're having revival, man. And you know what? To me, this is the biggest thing in most people's life: bitterness. You got an unresolved violation of your justice system, and you won't forgive, and you got bitterness. You will not be controlled. Now listen, everyone, look up this way. Johnny, put your hand in there now. Ooh, you got it. Wave to the people, Johnny. Make a fist, Johnny. Make a fist. Look at this. Look at this. Johnny has complete control of this glove now. Why does he have complete control? Because it's been empty out of self. Now, you want control. Thank you, Johnny. Let's give him a hand. He did a good job. You want the Holy Spirit to control your life? Then you know what you got to do, friend? You got to empty some stuff out. Some of you are going to walk out of here the way you walked in. And we wasted an entire 45 minutes talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're full of yourself. When you empty yourself, then the Spirit of God can have the control that He has. I just close with this really quick thing. Dr. Shetler, sometimes people ask the question, how do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not? How do you know if that's emptied? I have a can of, everyone together, Pepsi. I'm going to take the can of Pepsi, and I'm going to pour it inside of this glass. Now, New Life, you guys look pretty sharp. So here goes. Everyone together, what's inside the glass? Pepsi. So, let me ask you something. If I take the glass and I begin to shake it, and it starts shaking back and forth, it's getting shaken. Everyone together, out loud, what's going to come out of the glass, everyone together? Mountain Dew. What's going to come out of the glass? Why is Pepsi going to come out of the glass? Because that's what's in it. When you're shaken, what comes out of your life? Anger. Oh, I'm so worried. Oh, boy, I want what... When you're shaken, what comes out of your life? Self or the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. When things go wrong in your life, what comes out of your life? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will come out of your life. It's whatever you got inside. So you know what? Every one of us are old enough and mature enough to know what we're filled of right now. Because if you're full of yourself, self's coming out during the week. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will experience the fruits of the Spirit. So what do you got to do? Dr. Shetler, you got to empty yourself. Now listen, I don't think we need a lot of messages on the Holy Spirit. Because I think it's all about Jesus Christ. But I do believe, friend, that you better know some things about the Spirit of God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is your coach. He is your referee. And what he wants to do is exalt you, exalt Jesus Christ by conforming you to the image of Christ or to bring you to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How can I help him do that? Have a relationship with a man. And number two, give him ownership. Give him the ownership of your life, and you empty, and when you empty, he fills.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.